And good morning, everyone. Certainly a wonderful day we have in this March. And we're certainly delighted that all of you are here with us this morning. We have a lot of visitors. We thank you guys for coming our way, spending some time with us, and hopefully benefiting from the worship here. You see the title there, it does not matter what you call it. So I'm going to show you a series of pictures here in a moment, and I want you to think about whether the images that you see actually show something that is different or actually the same. And so the first one, right, you've got this phrase you hear a lot of people use, six in one, half dozen in the other. Got six eggs on one side, got half a dozen on the other side. Are they any different? No, they're not. How about this one? Got soda, we've got pop. If you were in New Orleans, you might say soft drink. But it just depends on where you grew up, right? What this is called. Are they any different? Not really. Not really. How about this one? They look a little different, but you could say one is tennis, one sneakers, maybe gym shoes. Again, it just depends on where you grew up. Maybe what you were familiar with. Here's a musical one. A violin or a fiddle? That's a trick question, actually. Because a violin is a fiddle, but a fiddle is not necessarily a violin. So, but anyway, does it really make a difference? No. But, you know, as humans, right, as people who like to identify differences, we want to see differences in everything, right? And we actually even try to do this for things that are exactly the same. And it seems that we do this to just help us make distinctions, right? And distinctions are okay, right, when we're talking about maybe some of these things that we've shown on the screen, that they don't really make a whole lot of difference. But, you know, they can do a lot of damage to us when we're talking about our service to God. And so when we sin, right, and we want to make up different names for the sins, you know, we're basically doing the same thing here, right? We've got soda and pop and the fiddle and the violin, but you know, we get into things where something that, you know, if I was going to steal something, which I'm not, but if I was going to steal something, right, we may have all these different names. We might want to call it theft. We call it robbery, appropriation, plunder, pillaging, piracy, burglary, embezzlement, larceny, pilfering, looting, poaching, fleecing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, it just keeps going on and on. It's all the same thing. Stealing. And so we actually, through all of this, end up diluting what it really is. It's sin. And, you know, this is, in the worst case, this is a perversion of God's instructions throughout Scripture, right? He's very simple in what he defines for us and what he calls things. And so today, we want to clarify just why this is not what God intended for us, right? And what we have to do about it if we're to live as God desires for us to live. And so, yeah, we like to categorize things. So on the screen, this is a photo I took back in, I think it's 1990, and it actually is at the Smithsonian Natural History Museum. And you can see all these different images, and this is supposed to be the types of humans, Right? That's how it's described. Modern man has many forms. And so if you were going to classify people this way, right, you'd actually have to accept some idea of evolution, because we know that God actually only started with two types, right? A man and a woman. All these other things shown on the screen really are just ways that we're trying to make distinctions, right? Okay, but what if we didn't have eyes? Would we be able to make any of those other distinctions? Probably not. And would any of these other things that we've been talking about really matter in terms of their differences either? Probably not. And so when we sin and then begin assigning different categories to sin, right, we're doing the same thing again. We are putting things into terms of how bad we think that they are. Right, so we end up with, we were talking about those terms for stealing, right? So we end up with things like embezzlement and shoplifting, right? It brings up different idea in your mind of just how bad it is, right? Still sin. So, you know, people believe that God actually made all these differences. Well, he didn't, right? Because all sin described in Scripture, you know, we see that there was some death that went along with it. Now, the most common death, right, in the Old Testament was that of an animal, right? People would bring sacrifices. The animal then would lose its life. But there were cases, right, where the life of the person committing the sin was also required. And in those cases, that was generally because God was not wanting what they had done to spread, right? To be looked at as being acceptable, to be okay. So, those cases, the person was put to death. Now, what's shown on the screen, right, are some basic ideas that a lot of religious people have. And, you know, that's not so bad, but we see that there are things like sins of omission, right, which we tend to describe as something that should have been done, but human weakness prevented it from happening. You might think of Eli and his sons, like over in 1 Samuel and verse chapter 3 and verse 14, where it reads that, therefore, I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. So they were not doing things which God had instructed. They were perverting the instructions that God had given them and not carrying out their duties as priests. And then their sins of commission, right? Something intentionally done, even knowing that it was wrong. This is, of course, Cain killing Abel over in Genesis 4, right? And we're all familiar with that story. So he certainly knew that that was wrong. He certainly knew killing his brother was not a solution to the problem he had, where he was not being pleasing to God. And then there are those general things that people might say, which is a transgression of the law. And I put on the slide, right, something which goes against the Ten Commandments. But really, it could be any particular law which goes against whatever that religion might support, right? So there are lots of different religions in the world, and many of them obviously have things they consider right and wrong. And so if you break one of those laws or rules or whatever they might call it, that's viewed as something being wrong, right? And again, this is the world's view, right? We're splintering up. We're making separation of what is one type of sin versus another type of sin. And so the basic premise, though, of what God laid down for Moses actually was covered in Matthew 22. Because there, you know, when Jesus is being asked about what is the greatest commandment, and he gives that answer then in verses 37. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. So he's not outlining for them any additional lists of sins, right? He's not outlining for them any additional things for them to avoid. He's making it very simple for them to understand. He boiled it down to two things. Okay? So, I'm going to highlight a few things now just to kind of further cement this idea in our minds of just how ridiculous this can get. I took a few of the items that were given in Romans 1 and in Galatians 5 and actually laid them out using the colors of the Homeland Security terrorist threat level, right? Okay. So we can look in and see how silly this can get, right? So if we were looking at, you know, from the world's view at things, we could say, well, these are not really that risky, right? We've got stuff like arrogance, ungratefulness, jealousy, boasting, being untrustworthy. People don't think that that's that bad, right? People do this stuff all the time. They don't really think anything of it. It's just, well, it's not that big a deal. According to Scripture, it's sin. How about in the guarded category, we're one step up above low. Right here, we've got things that might be like gossip and envy. We have strife, lying, being unloving. Right? We've seen that. We've seen people do that. Maybe we even do it. And sometimes we don't think a whole lot about it. Right? It just kind of just rolls along with life. What about elevated? Now we're right in the middle of the threat level, right? We've got slander, insolence, being inventors of evil. That's a far-reaching one. Being disobedient to parents. What about when it gets to be high, right? He's got drunkenness, greed, stealing, outbursts of anger. And then lastly, at the top level, right, we've got things that are considered severe, like blasphemy, idolatry, murder, rape. People actually get death penalties for these items, right? Now, this is silly, isn't it? You say, why is he comparing it to the terrorist threat level? We got these blue lines and red, yellow, all of this. It's silly, but that's just as silly as trying to make distinctions in sin, right? It's all the same. And in God's eyes, one sin is not worse than any other sin, okay? So in the world's view, right, there are different consequences that go along with these things, right? If it was something severe, right, we just mentioned that, hey, death might be the penalty for some of these severe things. And you go all the way down to the low, and there's absolutely nothing that takes place, right? People just kind of do those things, and it just goes on day after day, time after time, nothing happens, right? Nobody gets outraged. No one feels that it's necessary to do anything about that, right? Because we've established in our own minds that there have to be different consequences. There must be different consequences, right? These are all different things. No, it's sin. Okay, and so why is that? Well, my own contention here is that I think because when people decide they want to have different consequences, people think that as long as nobody gets injured, right, it's not a big deal. And so you end up with these things where we've got violent things, we've got nonviolent things, we've got all these other in-between things. But when we have consequences that are so different, we end up with a distorted view of what God has established for us. And so in the world solution, right, you'll hear people say, well, let's just live as a good moral person, right, compared to others in the world. And so if that were the case, who are you going to compare yourself with? Right? Who are you going to compare yourself with? Well, maybe you're going to compare yourself to the best that society has to offer. The very best. Whoever that could be in your mind. But it's rare to find someone who's actually doing what Paul suggested in Philippians 3:17. Right? Over there, he's actually telling people to imitate him and others that are following the pattern he established. That might be a pretty good thing, but that's not usually what we find, right? What we find is that people are comparing themselves to the worst that society has to offer, right? Because then they can feel justified just like the Pharisee over in Luke 18, right? Where he actually says, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. You start to feel pretty good, right? Hey, this guy over here, he's, man, everybody looks down on him. I'll just compare myself to him. That works, right? But comparing yourself to men will only get you so far, right? Because all of us sin in one way or another. All of us do. And so it's foolhardy at best to make our comparison with others. Let's take a look at Colossians 3. And in Colossians 3, it's turning over there. Beginning at verse 1. If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on earth. And so we have to recognize that we can't get to heaven by using the holiness of man as our guide. Right? And so that's why God gave us something better. He did. He gave us Jesus. And we've looked, I think, long enough at the world's view of how this might be done. So let's take a look at what God's view is. So in God's view, He doesn't use all these different categories to define sin, right? If you turn over to James, and in James chapter 4, in James chapter 4, you'll actually find that in verse 17, it very simply says, therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him, it is sin. That's in your mind, isn't it? Do you or do you not know what the right thing to do is? To him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him is sin. Now, over in chapter 2, in verse 15 and 16, that gives an example of what that might look like, right? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Right? He that knows to do good and does not do it, to him is sin. And so, you know, we're told that this actually affects everyone. If we look at Romans 3:23, right, we find out that no one is excluded because it says there that all have sinned and fall short. Reading that whole thing, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All. That's an inclusive word. It means everybody here. Everybody that's not here. All have sinned. And God tells us how sin enters our life, right? It's through temptation. We look at 1 John 2 and verse 16. It says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world." And you know, we can tell that that's the case, right? Because this is the same way that the devil tried to tempt Jesus to sin. Even Jesus was tempted by the devil over there in Matthew 4, right? With those three things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. And so when we look at, you know, what God's view is, it's the same consequences, regardless of the sin, right? We've examined that in our current world, physical consequences of sin may vary, right? You have different things that happen to you, due to, sin. But what about the spiritual consequences? So with God, there's no difference between one sin and another, and His judgment is simple and final. Is death for disobedience. I have for you there on the screen Romans 6:23, right, which reads, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The wages of sin is death. So there's only one consequence in God's view. In God's mind of what the consequence for sin is, and it hasn't changed. And so what can we do about that? What can we do? We have a problem now, right? We sin. We have a consequence awaiting us. What can we do about that? Well, God has a solution for that. And first of all, His Son was sent to die for our sins, right? We all know this very familiar verse in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have eternal life." Easy to remember, easy to think about, even get shown at sporting events and that sort of thing. Very popular verse in Scripture. And that's part of God's solution. But what's the other part? We have to actually walk in the light, meaning that we have to live like Jesus. Let's look at 1 John 5. And in 1 John 5, verses 5 through 10, it's 1 John 1. "And this is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." God does not lie. So that means that these statements are true. And so as we come to the end, as we many times have to do, we have to make a choice, right? We have a choice between what is the world's solution and what is God's solution? And that's the decision you're left with today. Will you take the logical step and actually put your faith in Christ, that He is able to save you from sin? He actually died for you. He died for you. If you're willing to acknowledge that faith by confessing Him as Lord and repenting of your sins and being buried with Him in baptism for the forgiveness of sins, you can actually do something about your sin problem. You're not left hopeless. If you're a Christian already and you actually need to return to the straight and narrow path that leads to God, you can respond as well. You can ask for prayers of the church, and we will do just that. We will pray for you. Two choices, as always, is the world's solution and is God's solution. I hope that you'll pick God's solution this morning as together we stand and we sing.